The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tomorrow from the IMG bubble in Bradenton, two more WNBA games on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. You'll see Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, and the Mercury taking on the Atlanta Dream at 7 Eastern. Then you will see the Sun squaring off against Sue Bird and the Storm. All that and more coming your way tomorrow, ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, before we begin a new hour, I insist we talk about golf, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. And Justin Thomas goes into the PGA hot, winning the FedEx St. Jude Invitational yesterday. He's now the number one player in the world. First time he's had that since June of 18. Came from four shots back to win for the third time this year. Shot a 5-under-65. Beat Brooks Koepka, among others, to wind up winning the event. And again, this weekend is the PGA Championship, the first major golf championship in well over a year. All the action will be here on ESPN. We'll have plenty of coverage of it. Justin Thomas is my pick to win. I made that pick before yesterday, but I like the way Koepka looked this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys on a huge stage this weekend. And with that thought in mind, as we hit the top of a new hour, welcome to another hour of Get Up. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol, Connecticut, with you for the next 60 minutes. Then First Take comes your way. We are busy. Here we go. Time to get up with big news from the NFL. Another head coach testing positive. Shefty is live with us to tell us exactly what it means. Plus, did you hear what they're saying now in Green Bay about their legendary quarterback? Not sure if Aaron should laugh or storm out when he hears it. You'll hear it in just a moment and make up your own mind. And then the games in the bubble have been fantastic. We've got all the highlights, including a couple of superstars going right down to the wire as we get up with you starting right now. In fact, let's start right there with the game of the night. Bucks and Giannis taking on Rockets and James Harden. Stylish as always. They're the top two scoring teams in the league. Pick it up in the fourth. Bucks up five. Brook Lopez stripped, but they're going to keep it. They're going to kick it. And that's Chris Middleton knocking it down. Brother Robin loves it. Bucks lead by eight. Later, Rockets down six. PJ Tucker, corner three. Rockets would take 61 threes on the night, make 21 of them. They're within three. Bucks next possession. George Hill. Oh, it's stripped. Oh, we're going the other way. And they're going to get it to Robert Covington, who'll lay it up in good. Rockets are within one. Shortly after, same score. Giannis. He gets poke-checked away again. Rockets turning defense into offense. Harden. Westbrook. Westbrook. Yes. Rockets take a one-point lead. Russell had 31. Look at them here. James Harden wanting to play defense, giving it up on the break to his running mate. And again, the Rockets are up one. Bucks down that 1 point, under 30 seconds to go. Good finish. Giannis, who's stopping this? So strong. Left hand. Bucks take a one-point lead. Giannis had 36 and 18. Next possession. Giannis. Oh, he throws it away. Intercepted. Daniel House Jr. with the pick. Giannis passing it up instead of going to the hole. His third turnover of the night. Rockets would make free throws. They're up by three. 5.5 seconds left. Bucks down three. Where are you going for a bucket? Chris Middleton for the tie. No good. No good. James Harden, 24, 7 assists. Rockets win a thriller. 120-116. Let's talk.
I mean, it's amazing. We fought through it. Adversity showed up. Adversity showed up, and we showed out. And I'm so proud of all our guys. This locker room did an amazing job of competing 48 minutes.
Our execution, you know, our certainty of what we wanted to do wasn't where it needs to be, and that starts with me. So, you know, I think a lot of tonight's on me. So it's good for our team. It's good for all of us.
And so, as I bring Jay Will and Big Perk back into the conversation, gentlemen, earlier this morning, for those of you just joining us, we talked about the Rockets playing small ball, how dangerous they can be. We talked about the Toronto Raptors. Jay Will likes the Raptors to win the Eastern Conference. And I hear where you're coming from. But, Jay, I'm now going to make my bold prediction. Having watched another game yesterday, okay, having watched a good weekend this weekend of basketball, and I'm telling you there is no team in the Eastern Conference that has more places to go for a big bucket late than the Boston Celtics, who got 16 in the fourth quarter from Jaylen Brown yesterday. And if Kemba Walker is okay, Jay Will, here's my bold prediction. The Boston Celtics are going to the NBA Finals. What do you think?
Greeny, I like your stab at it. And I like the evolution of Jason Tatum. And Jaylen Brown also is extremely underrated. And same with Kemba Walker. But I will say this. I think the lack of an interior presence ultimately hurts this team. They rely heavily upon the three-point shot. When they're making three-point shots at a high clip, they are really good. And I think you saw that the other day when they played against Portland. I also want to tell you that Portland ranks 27th in the league as it ranks to defensive efficiency. The two other teams in the Eastern Conference that rank number one and number two, respectively, are the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, who have sides and who have versatility to switch on the perimeter. So those shots become a little bit more challenging for the Celtics against that size of Toronto and Milwaukee. That's going to be the major challenge for the Celtics.
Big Perk, what do you think?
Well, Granny, you said if Kemba Walker is healthy, if it was a fifth, we'll all be drunk. I have major concerns about Kemba Walker. Listen, he had a four-month layoff, and he's still not all the way healthy. They need him down the stretch. He was their closer right on when Jason Tatum struggled. He's their guy. He's their second all-star. So with that being said, when you look at the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics, I think they cancel each other out at the guard and wing position. But I'm going to go with Jay Will's point and talk about their bigs. The Raptors have two bigs that can anchor a defense and protect the paint. Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol. Both of those guys are elite defenders. And by the way, I never seen a team that is so happy to play defense. The Toronto Raptors are happy to play defense. You should see the joy on their face, the way that they take pride in playing defense. They don't even care about the offensive end. They say, okay, we can get a bucket. And they have depth. They have Hollis Jefferson, who comes in and give them a spark. They have Norman Powell, who's a sixth man of the year candidate in my eyes. And then they have an old school veteran rookie with an old soul in Terrence Davis, who also give them a spark. So I'm looking at this Raptor team, Greeny. I got them picked coming out of the East.
All right, we'll see. You guys are on Toronto. I'm on Boston. Just very quickly, Kirk. If was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. You have all these. Where do these expressions that you use all the time come from? Do you read them in a book? Like, where do these come from?
Hey, Greeny, listen. I'm from Beaumont, Texas, down here in the country. I got an old soul. But I do want to say this. I know you, right? And when I'm in a studio with you, I notice something. You love to wear red bottoms, but guess what? Big Perk love red bottoms too, and they have them in my size. I'm willing to make a bet with you right now on the get up that if the Toronto Raptors come out of the East, you have to buy Big Perk a pair of red bottoms.
They make those in your size?
That's what I want.
Yes, they red bottoms.
All right, we'll talk about it.
Yes, they do. I think it's a size 44 to be exact.
Size 44. I mean, I got a suit bet going with Jalen. Now I got Louboutins going with Big Perk. I got a whole wardrobe that I might win or probably lose on all this. Guys, stay with me. We'll talk more hoops a little bit later. And Perk, we'll negotiate the terms of the wager a little bit later. I got to get to serious news from the NFL. Thank you, guys. Here's that news. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson has tested positive for the coronavirus. The team announced that last night. He convened a previously unscheduled team meeting yesterday to share that news with his players. He is asymptomatic, from what we're told, and doing well, according to the team. The one who's reporting all this, of course, is our Adam Schefter. And Schefter joins us here. Schefter, where do Peterson and the Eagles go from here?
Basically, he's now going to be in quarantine, Greeny, and you have a situation where Deuce Staley is going to be the acting day-to-day head coach for the team at the facility as it filters back into the complex. And you've got a situation where Doug Peterson will be off to the side. Now, he had at least two positive tests. They got validation last night. He called a spontaneous, unplanned team meeting to inform the team that their goals do not change, the events will continue on, that this team will be coached up. He'll be a part of it, just virtually. Basically, it's a reflection of the world we're living in now. Doug Peterson will continue to take part in it. He just will do it from a distance as he recovers from coronavirus.
Okay, so that's obviously significant news. Meanwhile, there was something else that happened in the NFL yesterday. I've been waiting all morning long to bring this to the program here, so let's get to it here. Last week, Aaron Rodgers made some very interesting comments in which he used the past tense. He said, I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay in response to his team drafting the quarterback in the first round. Yesterday, head coach Matt LaFleur, clearly hearing the chatter, had these fascinating comments about Rodgers' future with the Packers, and we will call this, I'm sorry, what?
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
I'm sorry, what? That's a fascinating thing to say when you just traded up in the first round to take another quarterback. Lewis Riddick, what is your reaction?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, coaches don't really need to be going into that depth about how they foresee the roster going, you know, in the future. Because, look, Matt just really contradicted himself within, like, one sentence right there. He said, look, I see Aaron here for a very long time, and how long that is, nobody knows. It's like, well, you understand that you just contradicted yourself. You see him here for a really long time, but you don't know how long that is. Well, you just said it was a long time. So, I mean, really, in this kind of situation, less is more. And, look, Aaron kind of put it out there. He understands the landscape of the NFL. He understands the NFL's a replacement business, even for a guy like him. Even for a surefire first ballot Hall of Fame lock, it's a replacement business, and teams always have to have a succession plan. So as the head coach, as the CEO, just let it be at that. We're going to camp. Aaron's our quarterback. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. We're just trying to win football games. We're trying to get to the Super Bowl. We're trying to not have a repeat of having, you know, our back stomped out like it was last year against San Francisco in the NFC Championship. We're just trying to get better. Why do you have to make these contradictory statements? Though, again, here we are on Get Up at 9 o'clock in the morning going, what is he doing? Why are you talking about this kind of thing, about this quarterback who we know you drafted a guy in the first round. We know you moved up into the first round in order to get him. We know it's a matter of time. You don't have to continue to stir the pot here. You don't have to. And I don't understand why coaches would do that. I think this is indicative of Matt's inexperience in terms of maybe speaking to the media and articulating his thoughts and keeping it benign, just keeping it nice and easy so the focus stays on the football team. Because right now he's stirred up the pot again. Because look, we're talking about it.
Absolutely. Look, far be it for me to advise everyone to act like Bill Belichick, but Bill Belichick would have just said, well, we'll see what happens. And that's it. And that probably in this case
that's all you
is
need
the
to
best
do.
Answer. Shefty, what? I mean, what are you hearing as far as the long term? What does a long time mean? Shefty,
look,
what?
This is going to be a business decision. And Aaron Rodgers right now is under contract with the Packers through the 23 season. There's an out after 22. So, look, he's on the roster this year. I think he's on the roster next year. And then we start to get into an interesting situation where as the salaries on quarterbacks across the league are rising, we've seen Mahomes get a new deal in Kansas City. Deshaun Watson's going to get a new deal in Houston at some point. These salaries are going to go up and up and up. And if Aaron Rodgers is playing the way he wants, then he's going to want a raise. And at some point in time, the Packers are going to have to see whether it's worth it to continue on with him. And that's going to be compared to the way Jordan Love is developing in camp. But you don't trade up in the draft. Pick a quarterback in the first round without the idea that at some point you're going to be turning to him. But again, this is going to come back, I think, to the economics and business of it all and what's in the best interest. And yes, you're right. when you're talking about your team, all you have to do is say, I love Aaron Rodgers, and we're always going to do what's best for the Green Bay Packers.
Tim, what do you think of all this?
Well, I think Luke brings up a really good point in terms of Matt LaFleur's inexperience speaking to the media. People need to understand this about players. You can coach them hard in your team's facility and in the meeting rooms, but man, they are sensitive when you talk about them publicly. And so Matt LaFleur can think that he is complimenting Aaron Rodgers when he's saying, oh, it's a privilege to coach him. We expect him a long time. But when he says nothing is guaranteed, then everything else he said doesn't matter to Aaron Rodgers. The reality, at that point, your feelings are hurt. You feel betrayed. That's how it works with players. And so you're better off, especially in this current situation, if you're Matt LaFleur, to be like, look, Aaron Rodgers is our starting quarterback. We didn't even know if we're going to make it through an entire season. I'm not worried about anything beyond getting ready to play this upcoming season where Aaron Rodgers is our starting quarterback. It's an easy way to get out of it without, you know, essentially betraying and kind of hurting the feelings of your starting quarterback.
Go ahead, Shefty.
But doesn't Aaron Rodgers know when they take a quarterback in round one that nothing's guaranteed in the future? I guess you just don't have the head coach say it, but he knows it.
Lewis, go ahead.
I know.
Of course he does.
You're right, but see, Tim brings up a great point. It's one thing to say that when you're in their facility and you know it and it's implied because you understand, again, it's a replacement business. It's another to have a press conference and go, hey, nothing's guaranteed. Well, no kidding, man. I've been in the league longer than you. Yeah. I've been playing this game at a high longer level than longer than you've been coaching it. So why do you – you don't need to tell me, and you especially don't need to tell everyone else because now you just ticked me off, okay? Now you ticked me off, and trust me, I can have more of an effect on this football team than even you can as the head coach because I'm the quarterback.
And obviously, if anyone knows this, Aaron Rodgers knows this, he lived this from the other side 15 years ago. As we continue, coming up, will anyone roll the dice and take a chance on Antonio Brown now that we know what the suspension is? We will dive into that huge NFL decision. And then later in the hour, what were Stephen A. and Jalen's biggest takeaways from the NBA's first weekend back? We'll ask them. They'll both be live coming up this hour. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's run the bases through some baseball action yesterday, and it has to begin with Aaron Judge. All rise. Aaron Judge homering in five straight games now. That three-run shot to left in the second inning, and then this mammoth 468-foot blast to win it last night as the Yankees beat the Red Sox 9-7. Elsewhere, three-time Cy Young winner Clayton Kershaw, late scratch for the season opener, allowed three hits, struck out six in 5 2/3 in his 2020 debut Sunday against the Diamondbacks. The Dodgers are heating up. They won again yesterday. And then the Tigers reliever Tyler Alexander, remarkable in the first game of a doubleheader against the Reds, struck out the first nine batters he faced, tying the American League record for consecutive strikeouts. It was one shy of Tom Seaver's major league record. And if you're looking for baseball, we're the place tomorrow. Three more games on ESPN and the ESPN app. Pirates Twins, 2 Eastern, followed by the Mets and Nats. And then Mike Trout and the Angels in Seattle to take on the Mariners. First of a three-game set at Safeco. Busy day of baseball tomorrow here on ESPN. Big football news came Friday night. The NFL announcing the suspension on Antonio Brown. It's officially 8 games. So if Brown, who is currently a free agent, signs with the team before the regular season, he would be allowed to participate in preseason activities and then suspended starting from September 5th until after the team has played 8 games. He posted a very positive sort of grateful message on Instagram. He's trying to get his way back in. And now the questions start to become, what are the logical teams that might be interested in Antonio Brown, Shefty, at this stage with all of the baggage that he brings?
Greeny, let's start with the fact that over the last year plus, there have been 3 teams that have essentially walked away from Antonio Brown: the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the New England Patriots. Now we're in a situation where the 2 teams that seem to have been most linked to Antonio Brown are the Seattle Seahawks and the Baltimore Ravens, because Lamar Jackson has come out and publicly lobbied for Antonio Brown to be in Baltimore. Now, I've gotten no sense from Seattle that they're in the Antonio Brown market at this time. Could that change later on? Absolutely, because Russell Wilson has pushed for Antonio Brown dating back to last season, and you never know what's going to happen in a season of COVID if injuries, the virus, are going to impact your wide receiver room. But it doesn't seem like today Seattle is in the Antonio Brown market. We haven't heard a lot from Baltimore. Again, it seems to be going on. I think other teams have bigger issues right now than figuring out whether or not they're going to sign Antonio Brown. But look, you're talking about a Hall of Fame talent, one of the top talents in the entire league, a guy that's going to go into the Hall of Fame one day. But right now, there is a lack of action for Antonio Brown. Maybe it'll change later on this season for some team that's willing to give him a team-friendly deal with a lot of incentives if he behaves. But right now, you don't get the sense that anything is close.
So, Lewis Riddick, an hour ago, I asked you if you had a team to run, would you sign Antonio Brown? And you expressed a good deal of very understandable hesitation. Let me ask you the question a different way, because I've never been in a position where I'm making personnel decisions. But I can tell you, boy, would I be tempted in this circumstance. How would you describe the temptation? Because you could catch lightning in a bottle to get this guy in the same way that New England might with Cam Newton get this extraordinary talent for next to nothing. You could do the same with Antonio Brown. Again, his last 16 games, he's caught 16 touchdowns. So how would you describe what the temptation has got to be for teams out there looking at the possibility of catching this lightning in a bottle?
Well, the temptation is huge, Greeny. It's gigantic. Look, on the football field, there's nothing he can't do. Every single skill requirement that you look for in a wide receiver, he has. Ability to defeat press, the ability to defeat defensive backs when they're playing from off, ability to decipher zone and understand where the zone holes are, the ability to beat man-to-man coverage, contested catches, deep speed, catch and run. He's got it all. So that the temptation is huge. It's just a matter of how do you minimize the risk of him going AWOL on your football team in a season where you need to be able to trust people when they're in your locker room, obviously, for sure, and do the right thing by you as the head coach and the general manager and his teammates, but also trust him off the field to be able to, you know that he's going to be where he needs to be in order to keep himself safe, keep his family safe, and most importantly, in terms of the football team, keep his teammates safe. Are you going to be able to trust him? That's really what it always comes down to with Antonio is, can you trust him? Now, how can you protect yourself from him going off the deep end, so to speak, for lack of a better phrase, and not doing the things necessary? Well, I guess the only way you can is to highly incentivize him to do the right things via his contract, obviously. But even still then, even if it's just monetarily a minimal risk, you still run the risk of maybe him, you know, jeopardizing other players on the team because he's not in the right places that he needs to be. And number two, jeopardizing the team overall because you can't count on him. Those are the things that I would be struggling mightily with, because there's no question on the field, no one sung his praises more than me. He could right now step onto a football field and probably go 10 for 170. Easy, against the best DBs in the NFL. But it's bigger than that, and you have to figure out how you can come to grips with that and make sure it doesn't affect your club overall. That's the problem.
Tim, if you're Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson or Tom Brady or whomever, whatever quarterback with a lot of clout, are you in the coaches or GM's office right now saying, I'll handle this, go get that guy?
Well, I think if you're a guy that's had a good experience with him, so the guys that you've mentioned have, they've either worked out with him or been teammates with him. And look, they probably, we've talked about, you know, his work ethic. They've probably appreciated his work ethic and understand how good he is. And so, yeah, I think if you're any of those guys, you might say, what about signing him now? Now that we have some clarity about the fact that he's going to have to sit out 8 games, what if we sign him week one, week two, whatever it is, you know, to a deal that's team friendly, and tell him to stay away. Just do your thing in Florida, and then, you know, we'll figure out if we have a wide receiver problem at the end of the season. And if we do, that'll be perfect timing for you to come back. I mean, I think you do have to be creative with this. And I think really all this does is it gives you at least the clarity of how to approach the situation now that the NFL has actually made a decision on what his suspension will be.
This is why I'd be a terrible general manager, because I would do it.
Can I jump in there real quick?
I would do it. Lewis, I'm up against the break.
Can I jump in?
I'm going to bring you back on this.
Oh, okay.
I have to go to a break, but I'm going to bring you back because Stephen A. is going to chime in on this. We'll bring you back on the conversation. We will talk much more about a variety of different issues, including my bold prediction on the NBA playoffs when Stephen A. Smith joins us coming up in just a moment, and we'll get Lewis back in on Antonio Brown. And then Jalen is going to be live as well. And here's a sneaky Hembo question for Jalen. Who was the Spurs' leading scorer the last season in which they missed the playoffs? Boy, that's a tough one. And the answer is coming up next. Busy morning. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's run the floor through some NBA action from yesterday. DeMar DeRozan made two foul shots with a second to play to give the Spurs a two-point win over the Grizz. San Antonio now ninth in the West, trying to qualify for the postseason for what would be an NBA record 23rd consecutive year. That's the subject of the trivia question. We'll get to that in a second. Meanwhile, let me show you some other games from yesterday. Luka had 40 and 11. Porzingis chipped in with 30, but the Mavs lost again. 117-115 to the Suns. Good news, though, for Dallas, their three-year playoff drought officially ends with the Grizzlies losing, so Dallas is in. And then in what was a great game in the afternoon, Portland was down as many as 24 against the Celtics, came back to take the lead in the fourth quarter, but ultimately Boston won by four. Jason Tatum scored 34. Jaylen Brown had 16 in the fourth quarter alone, and that's why they are my pick to win the Eastern Conference. They got a bunch of places to go late. Meanwhile, we mentioned the Spurs trying to get back in the playoffs. And Jalen Rose is a trooper because the question is, who was the Spurs' leading scorer the last season they missed the playoffs? Let me tell you what's been going on behind the scenes. We've been having technical issues trying to get Jalen up. I don't even know that he heard the question before 1 minute ago, but he's going to take a shot at it. Jalen, who was the Spurs' leading scorer the last time they didn't make the playoffs?
I was watching the show the other day when the consecutive question was 18 and it was Tim Duncan and Jay Williams got it wrong. So that means David Robinson was sitting out, they were tanking. How about Sean Elliott?
That's a pretty good guess. You're thinking the right year, but it's not the right player. Believe it or not, it was Dominique Wilkins. Do you even remember him in a San Antonio uniform? He was there.
I do.
It was Pop's first season as head coach. They did finish last that year. They then drafted Tim Duncan and everything else went really well. So there is Jalen. And do we have Stephen A. Smith with us as well? We've been having some technical issues. Yes, excellent. We have both of them. Fantastic. Good morning, Stephen A. Good morning, Jalen Rose. I have a lot of stuff planned for the two of you this morning. Again, Stephen A. and First Take coming up in a little less than a half hour. But I made a bold prediction this morning, having watched them play twice this weekend. I'd like to hear from both of you. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Having watched all the different places the Boston Celtics have to go for a bucket late in close games and the defense that Marcus Smart plays on everybody, including Giannis, when they fouled Smart out of that game late instead of giving Giannis his sixth foul, whatever, I am of the opinion now, Stephen A., that when we get to the NBA Finals, the Boston Celtics will be representing the Eastern Conference. What is your thought?
I disagree with you. I understand where you're coming from, and I respect your pick because I love me some Jason Tatum. I think he's the real deal. And if Kemba Walker obviously can find himself to get close to 100%, the way Marcus Smart is defending and all of those boys, and Jaylen Brown, the way that he played yesterday, got to give respect where respect is due. But what I would tell you is that when you look at the Toronto Raptors, that's the team that really can't be ignored. Look at the Toronto Raptors, the exceptional coaching of Nick Nurse, who's my coach of the year, by the way. Without Kawhi Leonard, their movement of the basketball, their three-point efficiency, the way they share the basketball, the way they steal the basketball, the offensive fouls that are drawn by the Kyle Lowrys of the world, who's a pest on the defensive end of the floor, the insurgence of, the ascension, rather, of Pascal Siakam. I just look at the combination of all of those things. Anunoby, he's no Kawhi Leonard, but he's a viable replacement, the way that he's been playing and the things that he's capable of in terms of his size, his athleticism, his ability to finish at the basket and on the break. You just look at all the ingredients that comes. The Toronto Raptors have that, and I would give them an edge more so than Boston.
Wow. So that's Jay Williams, Kendrick Perkins, and Stephen A. all taking Toronto today. Jalen, what do you think?
Sometimes being Rostradamus works against me because going into the playoffs last year, while all of these people are now picking Toronto, I was actually picking them last year. And I also picked Pascal Siakam earlier in the year to be most improved player. They went on to win the championship. So now all of a sudden, they're terrific this year. They're outplaying expectations. People are looking deeper into the box score. Anunoby, is that the first time his name has ever been mentioned on this show?
Probably.
Fred VanVleet, who's been terrific for them the last couple of seasons. I'm going to die on this hill. You ready for my pick to win the Eastern Conference?
Yes.
I'm not about to get emotional. I've been covering the NBA Finals almost 20 years on television. I'm going to tell you my pick for the NBA Finals out of the East. The Milwaukee Bucks. Everybody's going to overreact to how they played yesterday and going to ignore the fact that their starting point guard was not even there, and Eric Bledsoe, who's a terrific defender. Giannis is going to continue to improve in late game situations. They don't play in a lot of close games. And here is why I distinguish them over the Celtics, because they're taller, they're better defensively in the interior. Here's why I favor them over the Raptors. Each of those squads have multiple bigs. For the Raptors, you have Gasol, you have Ibaka, and then they're going to play a lot of what I consider junk lineups to get a lot of minutes. Pascal will be at 4 and 5. They put all kind of players out there. But the Bucks' bigs are actual scorers. The Raptors' bigs are not scorers. So therefore, I'm going to take the team with Giannis at the end of the day. Bucks are my choice.
Real quick,
a couple of things.
Yeah.
A couple of things I would like to say. Number one, I want to alert the nation to you see me sweating. It's because I'm sitting under these bright lights. And Jalen, I just finished getting off the Peloton. I called you last week to give you props because you're looking good, my brother. You look like you've been working out and stuff. So I wanted to let you know that's why I called you last week. I'm sweating now because I just got off the Peloton. That's number one. Number two, I'm sorry, I didn't answer the question correctly. I was not trying to say that I wasn't picking Milwaukee to come out of the East. What I was trying to say is that my choice for, and you picked Boston, Greeny.
Yeah.
I was saying the team that I think had the best shot of knocking Milwaukee off the pedestal in the East was Toronto, not Boston. I did not mean to imply that I believe that Toronto is going to represent the East, because I've been saying Milwaukee all year, and I haven't deviated from that.
Okay, so we got two picks for Milwaukee, we got two picks for Toronto, and I'm standing along with the Celtics. Here's the real thing I wanted to ask you this morning, Stephen A. Smith, and I'm sure you'll talk about it coming up on First Take. Now there is some clarity. Friday, we received clarity from the NFL on what the suspension will be for Antonio Brown. He will be suspended the first 8 games of the upcoming NFL regular season. Hembo put up the stat earlier today. In his last 16 games, he's caught 16 touchdowns. Would you sign Antonio? If you were a team, if you're any team, would you want Antonio Brown, Stephen A. Smith?
Hell yeah. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest wide receivers to have ever played the game. I'll make sure that my cabinet is packed with Advil and Tylenol and anything else that comes associated with a headache, particularly migraines. I'll make sure that's in my closet, in my cabinet. But outside of that, I'm taking him, especially. I'm not taking him if I'm a team that stinks. I'm not taking him if we're on a fast track to nowhere. I'm not taking him if we're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who's already loaded with weapons with Evans and Godwin and Gronk and Brait and O.J. Howard and those boys. But if I'm a Baltimore Ravens squad, damn right, I would consider bringing him back if I was the Pittsburgh Steelers, because he owes me an apology and a mea culpa. More importantly, he's cheap. He has no leverage whatsoever. So I would definitely take the chance on him.
Correct. You will get him for a song. It'll all be an incentive. So either it goes great and he's worth it, or it goes badly and it costs you nothing. Jalen, what do you think?
I would definitely take a chance on Antonio Brown at this point of his career. And Stephen A. alluded to it. It can't be a squad like the Detroit Lions that doesn't have championship levels aspirations. But in particular, the Baltimore Ravens. And here's why. They were one or two worst teams at getting yards from their wide receivers because they're a run-centric offense. And also, if you look deeper into their roster, not only do they have an MVP quarterback in Lamar Jackson, the Patriots had that. Not only do they have a Super Bowl-winning coach, the Patriots had that. The Steelers had that, had both. But here's the difference. He'll be in a position of leadership because his cousin plays on the team, Hollywood Brown. That changes the dynamic a lot, because you know that adage, do as I say, not as I do? That works when you're not teammates, but it doesn't work when you're teammates. Mm. And all of a sudden, you can't have your cousin on the team and you telling him how to behave and you doing just the opposite. So that's the opportunity for Antonio Brown, in my opinion, if he's going to get back in the league.
That is a very interesting thought that no one has brought up. That is well done. Meanwhile, guys, say hello to Lewis Riddick, who's been with us all morning long. And Lewis, we were talking about Antonio Brown and we ran out of time. You didn't have a chance to make one more point that I really wanted to give you the chance to do it. What are your further thoughts here on AB?
Yeah, you know, I was just going to add into what Tim Hasselbeck was saying as far as sign him. Don't have him necessarily be around the football team during this eight-game suspension, and then bring him back once the suspension is over and bring him back into the fold, especially if and especially in the situation if you have your wide receiver room just get decimated. But here's the issue, though. Again, the issue is not his ability. The issue is trust. So, you know what? If there's someone who I don't trust to do the right things off the field, and those are the kind of things that really have gotten AB in trouble, right? What does he do outside of your purview, outside of your jurisdiction, so to speak, when he's on his own? Well, right now, where's the safest place for all players to be? To be around the team as much as possible, where guys are being tested, they have the best doctors and trainers, and they have the most structure in their entire life. In this environment, in this pandemic environment, that's where you need to be. You darn sure don't need to be in Florida. You don't need to be in Florida on your own. And you don't need to be in Florida on your own in a pandemic when you've had the history of making decisions that he's made. So therefore, that's the only thing I'm worried about. And it's really not even about the money for me, because we obviously equate it with, well, how do we minimize risk? Well, we minimize risk by getting him an incentive-laden contract to where he actually you pay him as you go. As long as you're available, you get paid. But see, there's other trickle-down effects. There's other things that can happen to your football team outside of losing money. And that is, you actually count on the guy, you tailor certain things as far as other roster decisions based on him being there, and then he's not there. So that's the thing that I would struggle with. It has nothing to do with his ability, because he's going to Canton. There's no doubt about that.
All right, we will let this sit for the moment. Stephen, I had a quick final thought.
I don't disagree with anything Lewis Riddick just said, Greeny. My only point that I would like to make is that he's big time. He's Mr. Big Time. It's not like he needed more time to explain that stuff. He's breaking stuff down to us about the NFL all day long. I mean, I think you just wanted to give Mr. Chippendales some extra air time, who finally decided to wear a tie. That's what I said, Jalen. I mean, I don't think that Lewis Riddick needed more time. That's all I'm trying to say.
Is there just one instance where...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You know what? I'll talk to you on your own show.
Okay.
All right.
That's coming up in 19 minutes. Stephen A., thank you. Want to remind everybody we have a great NBA doubleheader coming your way tonight. You will see the clash of the rookies, Ja Morant and the Grizz, taking on Zion and the Pelicans at 6:30 Eastern. Then you got LeBron and AD and the Lakers squaring off against Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown 6 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, Jalen and Lewis are coming back next. An extraordinary show of unity in the Pac-12. Football players threatening to boycott. What do I guys think? We'll talk about it next. Back on a busy morning, let's get up and go. News from baseball. Saturday, the Cardinals had one player and three staffers test positive for COVID. Four more members had inconclusive results. The Cardinals issued a statement saying they would not have any official updates from Sunday's testing until sometime this morning. Jeff Passan is standing by. As soon as there is news, he'll pass it along. Elsewhere, Shohei Ohtani expressed his comfort in his throwing arm after lasting just 1 2/3 yesterday, was sent for an MRI. It was his second pitching appearance since returning from Tommy John surgery. It's not been going well. Meanwhile, hockey. The Avs won with a literal last-second goal at the buzzer last night. They beat the Blues. The goal happened with 0.1 seconds remaining. The Avs beat the Blues by a score of 2-1 just in the nick of time. Meanwhile, other news. A group of Pac-12 players from several schools, potentially hundreds of players in total, is threatening to opt out of preseason camps and games over concerns about racial injustice and the coronavirus pandemic and other issues. Among some of the notable player demands that appeared in the Players Tribune, allowing student athletes to opt out of play during the pandemic without losing eligibility or a spot on the team, prohibiting any COVID-19 agreements that waive liability, creating a task force to address social injustice issues, and directing 2% of conference revenue to support financial aid for low-income black students, community initiatives, and development programs for college athletes on campus. We talked about this an hour ago, and our Heather Dinich told us that it's potentially upwards of 400 players who are involved in this now. And I want to talk about it. Jalen Rose back with us, Lewis Riddick back with us, and Paul Feinbaum joins us for the first time this morning. Paul, I'll just start with you. What is your initial reaction? 400 players in the Pac-12. This obviously is very significant. What's your first reaction?
It's incredibly significant and important, Greeny, because college football has been trying to stage this season without really very much concern for the player. And I think it's about time players are standing up. They have had conversations with leaders, and they're not getting satisfactory results. So if this goes from the Pac-12 across the country, and I think there's a reasonable chance it could pick up steam, this college football season is going to be turned upside down.
And not only that, Paul, but could you see a world in which this creates the beginning of a new normal in college football in a huge way, in which the players recognize the leverage and power they have and the dynamic really meaningfully changes beyond the pandemic?
Absolutely, because the players have been royally screwed, in my opinion, by their leaders and by the people that they depend on. And the NCAA is the culprit here, Greeny, because the NCAA is still trying to put off this name, image, and likeness situation. And now the players are saying, that's not enough. We want to cut at the gate. Now, it's a very difficult issue to get with, because if you start paying players, then you have a Title IX issue, and we'll save that for another day. But this is one of the most significant moments in the history of college athletics. The entire system is under assault, and I'm not sure when we get through this on the other side, the NCAA will still be standing.
Again, Jalen Rose, you played on one of the most famous college basketball teams, college sports teams of all time. As you read through this story, what's your reaction?
It's just a gradual chipping away at the model that we know as the NCAA. And for basketball, you see other options starting to present itself at a time players could go to the pros right after high school. And now you see that rule has changed. Now it may go back. There was a time when I was in college, Greeny, I remember John Thompson had the courage to walk off during games as the tip happened. And he was doing it to basically bring light to the Proposition 48 rule. And being a collegiate student at the time, what a lot of people don't know, he was actually had his network reach out to Michigan and the Fab Five. And if that would have continued, there was a chance that we would have been able to follow in his footsteps. So 25 years later, this is major for the players to understand you got all the power. Like, there was a time, trust me, y'all, that everybody was like, shut up. Just be happy that you have a scholarship. If that was me, I would do anything to be in your position. And then people realize what? Collegiate athletics make a lot of money. They started to pay attention to what the school make, what the coach make, the endorsements, the shoe deals, the television deals. And they like, you know what? We can share into that money. So I appreciate these players having the wealth of knowledge to understand their power and trying to use it to their benefit.
Now, you guys in a different lifetime, we're really so far ahead of all of that. Lewis Riddick, I'm just curious to hear your perspective on all of this.
Yeah, I think you've heard me numerous times say that the number one thing, especially when we talk about it from an NFL perspective, which is when we talk about the power of the players the most, the number one thing we talk about that players have at their disposal, maybe the only thing that they have at their disposal when it comes to really exercising leverage, is withholding their services. That's what they have in their back pocket at all times. And now we're seeing it that players on the collegiate level are starting to recognize that. The question is whether or not they can mobilize en masse and strategize en masse to where it really has a tangible effect on the game. Not just the Pac-12, but the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, the ACC overall. Because I think Tim Hasselbeck brought up a good point. There's so many players, and the depth on a 100-man roster in the NFL is so vast in terms of having 5-star, 4-star, 3-star players that could just step in and take the place of a group of 400 guys in the Pac-12 who just decide, who maybe decide en masse to sit out, that you just don't know if it'll have the meaningful effect and really like sway decision makers that are really profiting off of this, you know, amateur sport to the point where they will actually give the players what they want and really start to view the players as partners and view the players as very valuable, valuable parts of that huge machine, which is NCAA Intercollegiate Athletics, which we know is a huge money-making machine. Do they have enough right now, as far as how they have mobilized and how they're strategizing, to really make a tangible difference? Do they have people arguing on their behalf? Are they really organized enough to really see this through and have it, as you know, Paul just said, when they come out on the other side, have it look much, much different? That's what we're waiting to see. The momentum is there. It's started now. Can they see it all the way through? And you know what's bizarre to me anyway? Is that we're talking about just taking care of 18, 19, 20-year-olds. That's what we're talking about. Why is that something to where you have to really like get together and have to beat people over the head to look out for the best interests of the youth of our country playing a sport for our entertainment that they really don't benefit much off of? That's just amazing to me. That blows my mind that really that is what is at the crux of all of this.
And, Paul, let me give you the final word, if I could. Jalen, I'm sorry, but I'm out of time. But Paul, I just want to ask you, what, if anything, you're hearing from the people in the position of authority, the administrators, the coaches, and others relative to this and their concerns about it turning on them?
Well, there's already some concern. There's a report out today in Dallas that the head coach at Washington State told one of his players, you're going the wrong direction. If things like that happen, this movement will pick up speed. So it's a little bit early, Greeny, but I think because of social media, a lot of players are going to be involved. And I don't think there's anything that the administrators can say to these players that they care about. They've already been misled and lied to during this COVID crisis.
All right. I have to leave it there. Jalen, let's dive. Go ahead, Jalen. I got 15 seconds. Go.
All right, 15 seconds. I want to give you something before it hits the ticker. Shout to the West Coast Conference. They basically adopted something in the vein of the Rooney Rule, and they're naming it after Bill Russell as it relates to diversity hires in leadership positions.
I'm glad you got that in. I'm sorry that I'm out of time here. Let's come back and do more of this tomorrow because there's so much there. In the meantime, First Take, we'll pick it up and run with it in about 5 minutes. Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins discussing the impact of Milwaukee's loss and a whole lot more around the NBA. That's next on ESPN. Before we wrap, since last we were all together, July 31st, our family grew, introducing Dovlin Idris Sersher Benabid, born July 31st. His dad, Zach Benabid, has been producing this show from the day we came on the air 2.5 years ago. Welcome to the family. Thanks for spending the morning with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.